You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. In the 10 years since Katrina, New Orleans and the Gulf Coast have been reshaped in many ways. Who lives there, the kind of work they do, what they can afford. And being Marketplace, we wanted to do the numbers on New Orleans. To do that, we've got Allison Plyer, the executive director of the Data Center, a New Orleans-based think tank. They've been publishing the New Orleans Index for the past decade. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
To do the numbers on New Orleans now, you're kind of the person. So I'd like you to just first off lay out for me, who is living in New Orleans 10 years after the storm and what kind of fluctuations have we seen?
Well, the city has about 384,000 people there now. And pre-Katrina, according to Census 2000, we had about 484, so about 100,000 less. But every year we gain population. So I always remind folks that's the most important thing. As long as every year it's going up, that's good. The demographics have changed. Pre-Katrina, about 66% of the population was African-American. We've lost about 97,000 African-American residents, which was a large chunk. And so now we're just about 59% African-American. We also lost about 9,000 white residents. A lot of folks don't realize that. But still, proportionately, now the city has, you know, a larger share of whites just because the African-American population has declined so much. And we've also gained Hispanics. So we've gained about 6,000 Hispanics and a couple thousand Asians. So more diverse in a different kind of way than we were pre-Katrina. We also talk about the whole region, though, because, you know, really the whole region was affected. A couple of the other parishes were more damaged than New Orleans itself.
Yeah, St. Bernard Parish, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely destroyed. Exactly. And Plaquemines was really devastated. And Jefferson had a lot of flooding. So what's interesting when you look at the whole region is that the population has sort of shifted east and north and away from St. Bernard and Plaquemines. And so, and the whole region has become more diverse.
When you look at the public services that the city offers, some of the biggest questions you guys raised were about things like public transit. And then there are sort of other things that are quasi-public goods, you know, healthcare, hospitals, things like grocery stores. Paint a picture for me now of what the city looks like on those measures.
We used to have a pretty good system of buses relative to many other cities in the country, certainly not relative to New York or San Francisco, but relative to other cities, we had a pretty good system of buses. And those buses were flooded, as I think everybody saw.
Yeah.
And the reimbursement from FEMA was such that we only were able to acquire about a fifth of the buses that we had pre-Katrina. So that means we have a lot fewer routes running right now and a lot less frequency. And that's really hard for a lot of our workers who work in the tourism industry and rely on that. Healthcare, actually, there's been a movement toward community-based clinics that spawned really out of Katrina and has been more effective in supplying primary healthcare than our previous model, which was all centralized downtown in the charity
ER. Hospital. Yeah,
it delivered a lot of other care really, really well. But for primary care, this decentralized system of clinics has proven to give more access to low income communities to the primary care, and we're seeing that now in the studies that are coming out. Grocery stores have rebounded to pre-Katrina levels. Tulane just came out with a study on that, and the pre-Katrina levels were not as good as they should be. We still have food deserts, but there was a time when it was really dire here in terms of the availability of grocery stores. So, and then there's the schools, right?
And
they're all over the city, in a variety of places. They're all charters, virtually all charters now, and with citywide access for every single one of them.
New Orleans will be 300 years old in 3 years. And I know 3 years is not a lot of time, but I'm curious, what are the numbers that you would like to see change between now and 2018?
Well, I think what's really hit home here in New Orleans is that as hard as we have worked to transform our institutions, to improve our public schools, to reduce our corruption, reduce our incarceration rates, we still, and I should say improve our economy, which we have done, we still see these glaring disparities. The city is measured having the second worst income disparity in the nation after wow. Atlanta. And that's really just gotten worse in the last few years. So despite all of these successes, we see that we are not yet the city that we want to be. And there's a lot of effort now, led particularly by the mayor, to improve employment rates, especially among African-American men. That's a hard thing to do in a city that for three decades had a declining economy and neighborhoods where folks had so little access to jobs. And now a generation of folks who didn't know about good job opportunities.
Allison Plyer, Executive Director and Chief Demographer at the Data Center in New Orleans, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.